Blog Talk Radio.
First Baptist and all of you who are listening over the internet, this is the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study. I am your pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. We are so very glad that you have joined us today. I want to tell you a little bit about First Baptist. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our normal Sunday schedule starts at 9:30 with Sunday school. Praise and worship starts at 10:45. Of course, our morning service starts at 11 o'clock. We invite you to come and be a part of the unique worship experience of First Baptist Church. When all of this pandemic stuff is over, please come and visit us at First Baptist. We'll be so very glad to receive you, and you'll be so very glad that you did come. I want to thank Minister McCullough and Minister Lester, who are helping me diligently with being able to come to you via the radio and the Facebook page. We want to invite you to go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. There you will find all the pertinent information about First Baptist. You will also find the link for the Bible study each week. We also go live every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. and you can be a part of the worship service of First Baptist of Holly Springs. So we invite you to go to the Facebook page of First Baptist, and you will find articles that I have published. You will also find sermons that have been recorded via video or audio. So go there, visit the Facebook page, hit the like button so that we can stay in touch with you and you can stay in touch with us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to come before your people to bring a word of understanding. We pray, God, that what we say today will be allowed to sink into our souls. It'll be seed sown in good soil. Father, we ask that you would touch those today who are going through. So many people have lost their lives. So many people are sick. But we know, God, that you can heal anything. You can cure any sickness. You can heal any disease. Touch right now in the name of Jesus. Give those bereaved families comfort to know, God, that everything is going to be all right. Father, we love you today, and we give you all of the love, all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our lesson today is, how do we know, or how can we be sure that the Bible is the Word of God? Today is a vital ingredient that's missing in our modern life. We simply are not coping with all the stress of this age. Our human mechanism, our brain and our body, is breaking down. They're breaking down under the strain. In an overcrowded world, a deep sense of loneliness often engulfs us. Perhaps the most damaging casualty has occurred in our relationships with each other, not to mention our wholesale estrangement from God. Trust is becoming a thing of the past. Long-held community values evaporating before our eyes. Men and women encounter tremendous difficulty keeping standards of truth intact in a climate where morality is fading fast. And movie marquees advise us to succumb to the dark side. As one newspaper columnist wrote, we are living in an age which has tried excessively hard to eliminate absolute rules. We're also losing our sense of security. Describing a prominent Western national newspaper article said that if the country had a therapist, the complaint would be defined as a virulent strain of unease and personal individual insecurity. Our children are truly worried about tomorrow, and rightfully so. Jobs don't appear to last long. Many times it seems as if we don't have enough money to pay our bills. At best, the future looks uncertain. And the words of the Bible are there to give us comfort. So how do we know? How can we be sure? Those of us who are Christians, those of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, how can we be sure that the Bible is the Word of God? We need the Bible at this time. If we ever needed it before, we need an opportunity to go into the Bible and find words that will soothe our soul, to give us answers to the perplexing problems that we face each and every day. We know that the Word of God is there for us. The Word of God is in every home. There's a Bible in every home. There's a Bible in every church. There's a Bible in some people's cars. How often do we pick up that Bible? How often do we read the Bible? How often do we study the Bible? Many times we find ourselves reading the same scriptures over and over again. But I implore you today to read the Bible. Start today. Begin to read and understand the words that are written there. I often tell people in my Bible study class, when you read the Bible, make sure you have some other references there as well. You need a Bible dictionary, and you also need a concordance. These things will help you to understand what the Bible is saying. The Bible was written in 16th century English. Many of us are not abreast to that. And so we need to look up words that we don't quite understand, passages of scripture that we don't quite understand, so that we will have an understanding of what God is trying to tell us. In our scripture today, in our lesson, in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter and the first verse, it says, God, who has various times and in various ways spoken in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Almighty God created all of us, and all that we see does not leave mankind without guidance and direction. He has put his thoughts into words for our benefit. God has revealed himself through the vehicle of words. The Bible itself calls Jesus Christ the Word. In John 1:14, and according to the introductory New Testament passage, the message of the Hebrew Bible has also claimed the same thing. In that second verse, God is in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Moses prophesied of a coming Messiah. this Messiah, similar to himself, would have words that would encourage us to heed. The Apostle Peter identified the great prophet as Jesus Christ himself in Acts 3:20, Acts 22:23. No doubt about it, Jesus Christ was that man that they talked about. Jesus, as God's son, is the ultimate prophet, and his words are the very essence of prophecy. Read Revelation 19 and 10. We should listen carefully to what he really tells us. Christ's words are chiefly found in four gospels, according to accounts of his life. The Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, in a much larger sense, they are found in the whole Bible. Jesus himself endorsed the truth and the authority of the Hebrew writings, commonly called the Old Testament. By calling them scriptures, he also provided for the inspiration in the writing of the books that would later become the New Testament. Christ consistently treated the Old Testament as the true record of God's dealing with the divine institution and divine revelation to all mankind. His teachings and conversations were plain, and they were given to the people of that time. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Apostle Paul also tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired by God. Consider his choice of words. Paul actually describes scripture in the Greek term, theonosoros. The first word meaning God, the second word meaning breathe. So the apostle says in some translation that God breathed the words, and the Holy Spirit fell upon holy men who were then able to write the words. Many people think the Bible just fell out the sky. No, no, no. God willed his spirit upon men who were able to write down the words so that we will have them for future reference. Clearly, our Creator directly inspired the divine messages revealed by both the apostles and the prophets. As we show many scriptures, God made known his divine message to man through the patriarchs and through the prophets of the Old and Old Testament, as well as the New Testament apostles. In fact, Peter ranks Paul's epistles with the rest of the scriptures, the later primary referring to the Old Testament. In 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul refers to two quotations of scripture. One is from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 25:4, and one is from Luke 10:7. So when Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy around 64 A.D., some additional writings apparently were already being considered as on par with the Old Testament and were called scriptures. Nearly 4,000 times, passages in the Hebrew Bible are introduced by such expressions as "the Lord spoke," or "the word of the Lord," or "thus said the Lord," and "the words of the Lord came." Scripture is consistently portrayed to come directly from the mouth of God. Yet in one sense of authorship of the Bible, it's dual because both God and man are clearly involved. Our Creator directed, inspired these Hebrew prophets. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Read 2 Peter 1:21. So God spoke by the mouth of all of his holy prophets, and by them writing as well. The natural conclusion is that all scripture comes from God. So today, beloved, we must understand that those of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, we have the answers to all of our perplexing problems in the Bible. What are some of the qualities that God subscribes to his word? Well, in James 1:21, he says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Paul also calls it a faithful word and the word of truth. This potent expression helps us to comprehend the true nature of Scripture and the God behind it. The healing qualities and the power of the word can be implanted upon us into our very being. As we seek our Creator, His word will enable us to produce lasting good fruit in our lives. There in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the division of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of thought and intent of the heart." The Bible was not designed to be read as a simple good literature. The Bible was instructed and supposed to be read for our benefit, for our lives. The purpose for reading and studying God's word is to gain understanding of His will and to learn to live by His word. As a result of diligently studying the Bible, God desires and expects action on our part. Read Hebrews 4:11-13. It is most important that we who claim the name of Jesus Christ stand by the word of God. There will be those who the Bible calls scoffers, those who will say, "Why are you reading that book? What do you get out of that? What do you do?" They don't understand. They're not part of the ecclesia. So their understanding of the word is only a surface understanding. But those of us who have studied the word of God, those of us who go into the word of God on a daily basis, have picked up the word of God to use it as a guide to our lives, we understand that the word of God is most important and the most vital thing that we can possess in our lives. Of course, the Bible itself never questions the existence of God. The Holy Scriptures are built upon the sole reality and the understanding of God. They are reliable witnesses to many personal encounters between God and His chosen servants. First, the historic Hebrew prophets, and later the first century apostles. The Bible includes the Hebrew writers in great cloud of witness, as He calls them in Hebrews 12:1. Listed in Hebrews 11 also, which recounts the stories of many of God's faithful servants. Did God establish personal contact with certain people? God called him from the midst of the burning bush, and Moses said, "Here am I." This is the account of the burning bush, the first of many personal direct conversations between God and man. As we look at this word of God, we understand that this God that we serve has a way of speaking directly to us. Did God clearly identify himself? Moreover, he said, "I am the Lord of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The one Moses encountered was the God of the universe. This God was the God that was there before anything was there. Moses understood this. He realized that he was speaking to the Almighty God. The Bible said that he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon him. Many today don't know who and what God is. This fundamental knowledge has escaped the minority of mankind, or the majority of mankind. The prophet Hosea lamented that the house of Israel had willingly lost and abandoned the knowledge of God, with tragic consequences. How much more do we do the same thing in this present age? Thus says God, the Lord, who encountered the heavens and who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that which comes from it, who gave breath to the people on it and the spirit of those who walk on it. God clearly tells us that he is the creator of both the heavens and the earth, and human beings as well. From time to time throughout history, God has chosen to remind certain men that he is the creator of all things. Patriarch Job was one such man. Four chapters in the book of Job are devoted to God's power and wonder of his creation. It is not the only chapter, but creation and uncertainty comes into the world, but God gives clarity to those who don't understand. In the book of Romans, the first chapter and the 20th verse, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invincible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." We live in a time now, beloved, that it seems as if we have trouble on every hand. The reality is that many of us are not watching what's going on in the world. Only thing that we see is what's going on with us. But our main textbook for life is the Bible itself. In addition, it gives basic biblical knowledge and basic biblical understanding of who God is. Out the Bible, we learn that God spoke to man just like he speaks to us today. The deadly spread of the virus that we're going through right now, the destruction, the sickness, and the illness that is going on in the world, we know that God is still in control. Population growth still soars out of control in many areas of the world, stretching resources to the limit, leading to further global instability. It seems as if there's trouble everywhere. And so it is, we need the Word of God to give us instructions, to show us that everything is going to be all right because God is still in control. Christ consistently treated the Old Testament as the true record of God, dealing with the divine instruction for humanity. His teaching and conversations were very clear to those who heard those words. And it should be clear to us today. We should have a clear understanding of where we are, the time that we're living in. The Bible said that in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to gather stones, there's a time to cast off stones, there's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Beloved, we are in that embracing time. We're in that time when we have to refrain from embracing. We're in that time, that disposition of time that we're living in. It will pass, but right now we have to go through it. So I ask you to go into the Bible, find words that will help you comfort your soul in these troubled times that we find ourselves living in. When God wanted his people to return to Jerusalem from their Babylon captivity, he was able to accomplish his purpose by transmitting an important message to an ancient king who could carry out his work. It says there in the book of Ezekiel 1:1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and also put it in writing." Yes, God has a way of turning things around. Regardless of who's in charge, regardless of who the president is, who the governor is, who the mayor is, God has the last word. And we must be confident in knowing that his word is true and his word has value. What does God require in order that we might share additional knowledge? Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call on me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's what we need to do. I say it all the time. Not only do I know that we can call on God, but I know we serve a God that can speak back to us. We must first have a spiritual hunger for God's word. Matthew 5:6. Then, through reading and studying the Bible, we can discover basic truths about God that has been revealed to mankind. We can also see them apply and demonstrate it by real events in our lives as his chosen servants. These biblical teachings and examples illustrate his character and they illustrate his will and its purpose for all of mankind. We must go into the Bible. We must hold on to the Bible, regardless of what others may say, regardless of how they feel about the Bible. As I said before, in the book of Peter, it talks about scoffers who will come around and question the Bible, question why you read the Bible. They don't question the Bible. They always question why you read the Bible. Well, again, beloved, the Bible, and this may be difficult for some to understand, even though the Word of God is for everyone, everyone will not receive the Word of God. Don't be upset when others do not receive God's Word. Don't be upset when others scoff at you reading the Bible. Don't be upset by those who don't believe in the Bible. We know who we are. We know who we claim the name of. And so because of that, we use the Bible and we study the Bible and we get great consolation from the words that are written there. The quest of the Apostle Paul was to make all people see what is the fellowship of God. Even today, only those the Bible terms the first fruits, those people God is calling to salvation now in this age, truly understand the mystery of the Bible. It is the mission of life in the Church of God to proclaim and to clarify and to make known that mystery. This is not the only day of salvation. Most people are aware of God, but we understand that there will be a day that God will come and God will call his people to himself. Most people are unaware of God's great plan and are not being given the opportunity for salvation at this time. We have this plan. We have this opportunity. We have this time to get into the Word of God. So do not waste that time. Do not disregard it as just simply idle time. For what is God planning with regard of his family? Well, in Romans 8 and 29, for wisdom he foreknew. He also predestined to be confirmed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Also, in Hebrews 2, 10 and 11, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, from whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are at the same family of Christ. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. God is planning a large family with many children. The Apostle Paul wrote of the whole family of God, but always with a view of his flesh and blood members, understanding and attaining the knowledge of God. And to obtain such great knowledge of the greater and understanding of God, we must go into the Word of God. You cannot claim to know God and not know his Word. We cannot be who we say we are if we do not live by his Word. Many of us are walking around with Bibles, but we are not reading those Bibles. We're studying the Bible and not using the things that we have studied. As I said before, I often say again, too many times the problem is not getting Jesus in you. The problem is getting some Jesus out of you. Many of us got Jesus in us, but when we come to our fellow man, what comes out? And that's what we should be learning from the Word of God. Not just to bring Jesus in, but we need to bring Jesus out so that our love, our compassion, our understanding, our willingness will sharpen. We will be able to be the people that God has created us to be and not just some perpetrator of a fraud. Many people are going around calling themselves God's child, but they're not acting like God's child. As I said before, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And so it is, beloved, that we must know that God's word has sustaining power. God has mercifully provided Christians a guarantee of astonishing promise. Surely we reason people power and get the job done with the power of God through the word. And then in Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him, the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. In other words, beloved, just like Jesus was raised from the dead, you can be raised from a horizontal to a perpendicular. You can be raised. You can stand up like a natural man. You can stand up like a natural woman, even though you may have pressures, even though the world seems like it's caving in on you. You can have the stability to stand and be proud and be strong. For we know that God's power is within us and God's power works through us. So it's possible for us as human beings to be full and to be complete if we go into the Word of God. I caution you today not to use it as a placeholder. I caution you today not to read the Bible just for a minute or two once a week or once a month, but to study the Word of God. Take some time out of your busy schedule. Many of us are at home right now, so our schedules can't be but so busy. Why don't we take some time each day to study the Word of God, about an hour a day, to get into God's Word while we're home, while we're not busy, while our schedules have been interrupted. Take this time to get into the Word of God and better ourselves as Christians and as human beings. For we know that God has given us this word so that we can fulfill the work that he has placed in us. John, 1 John 4 and 21 says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loved God must love his brothers also. And you can always tell a true Christian by the way they treat their brother and their sister. Not by the words that they speak, but by their actions. God wants our actions to be pure. He wants our actions to be deliberate. He wants our actions to be clear so that we can help one another. Clearly, the purpose of life is linked to creation. It did not end with the physical creation of Genesis chapter 1. The present emphasis is on the spiritual creation God is bringing to pass in the lives of converted human beings. We read in Galatians 6 and 15 that all humanity has been given this opportunity by God to express the spiritual creation that is in us. And because we have that creative power in us, let us recreate ourselves and make ourselves that which we are proud of. Paul told the Christians at Galatia, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. God is in the process of creating and molding and shaping his future family. This family will be wholly composed of spiritual beings destined to be in the kingdom of God, and his children given eternal life by the Father. Yes, beloved, there is a time for us. That time is now. That time is for us to get into the Word of God. If we ever needed the Word of God before, well, we sure do need it now. So many people are sick. So many people have lost their lives. Seems as if there's nothing that we can do. And there is nothing that we can do other than follow the instructions of our health officials and our city officials and our government officials. That's the only thing we can do. We got to ride this thing out. And we got to have the perseverance and the stability to know that God is in control. And regardless of what you see and regardless of what you hear, God is still on the throne. And as I said before, don't listen to the news all day long. There is no good news. There is nothing good that's going on in the news right now. We know the situation. And until it's over, it will be the same news every day. We are confused by the leadership, and because we do not have leadership in Washington, we are truly confused. We don't know who to believe. Some states are opening, some states are closing. We don't know what instructions or what information they may have. But we have the word of God that tells us to be cautious. The word tells us to watch as well as pray. So, beloved, don't just depend on those who are in position, but let's depend on God. God has given all of us practical understanding and common sense. Use that common sense. Use that practical understanding through the word of God that will give you guidance, that will give you hope, that will give you strength for these last and evil days. I'm going to open up the line. There may be those who are listening today who would like to add something to the study. I'm going to go with area code 919. Last four digits are 5744. Are you on the line, caller? 919. Last four digits are 5744. Would you like to say something? Amen. Press the number one if you'd like to speak. Just press the number one. Hello? Let's go to another caller. Let's go to 919, last four digits, 8096. Caller, are you on the line? Hello?
Hey, River Rogers?
Yes.
Hey, this is Miss Mangum.
Good morning, Miss Mangum.
How you doing?
Doing great, doing fine.
That's great, great. I really did enjoy that Bible study.
Well, thank you so very much. What do you think about the Bible itself? What do you think about people studying the Bible?
I think that the Bible is the most important guide that, you know, that we have. You know, and the Word of God is true, and it's going to endure it, you know, forever.
Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, the scripture, you know, is, we got to realize that it is divine. And, you know, when we read the Bible, we, like you said, we need to get an understanding of the scripture.
Right.
And read something else beside just the Bible. My brother, he gave me a Bible dictionary.
Good.
And so I can look up things, you know, in that. So it's real helpful.
Amen. Amen. You need that. I always tell people to get a Bible dictionary, because many of the words that are written in the Bible, you may have to look up.
That's right.
Let's go to another caller. Area code 910. Last four digits are 5088. Are you on the line? 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Hello?
You would like
yes, Pastor Rogers.
Hello. Yes.
Hi, Pastor Rogers. How you doing?
Doing great. Who is this?
This is Deaconess Rainey.
Deaconess Rainey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm doing just great. How's my brother Tim?
He's doing good.
Did you hear the Bible study?
Yes, I sure did. I heard it about.
Go right ahead.
About how can we be sure that the Bible is the Word of God?
How can
yes,
you be sure?
Yes, I heard it.
How do you know the Bible is the Word of God?
I can be sure because when I go to it and I'm sort of like reading or looking for something, I can find it. I use the back of my dictionary, the back of my Bible a lot, because all different Bibles have different back, you know, information in the back of it.
That's right.
It might have the famous people in the Bible. So anything you're looking for, it just holds so much information and so many instructions. And depending on the Bible you have, you just have a variety of information.
Well, Deaconess Randy, you're a Bible scholar. Matter of fact, you're in school right now for the ministry. I want to ask you, do you think that the congregations in churches today, do you think that they actually read their Bible for instruction, or do you think they just read the Bible because they've been told to do so or taught to do so for ancestors gone by?
taught to do so by what? I can't hear the last part.
By people who, like mother and father, taught them how to read the Bible, told them to read the Bible, or do they actually read it for instruction?
I think it's a mixture. I think some people read it for instructions, and then some, you know, they just read it because they was told to read it.
That's right. That's right. We all grew up with the Bible.
I think it's like a mixture of.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah, we all grew up with a Bible in our homes, and we saw our mother and our father and our grandparents read the Bible, and many times we just pick up the Bible and read it because we remember them. But I wonder how many people today actually read the Bible for instruction, who take the time to sit back for at least an hour and try to get into the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to get more into reading the Bible for instruction and not just for literature, not just for something to do. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to another caller. Let's see. 919. Last four digits of 5744. Caller, are you on the line?
Ram.
Hello. That's Brother Jonah. Sister Jonah, how you doing?
Hello. How are you, Reverend? I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so very
much. But it's something I want to touch on. I like the scripture where it comes from. Who had the power to write it down so it would be, you know, our guide in life.
That's right.
Another thing I want to comment on, using common sense with this virus. Now, I'm trying to keep it short.
No, take your time.
How can we say we're going to open up? Well, how can the politicians say we're going to open up everything in 1 or 2 weeks with people, you know, constantly dying? I don't understand that.
Well, that's all about
money. That's all. I just want to make that comment.
Oh, yeah. They got to make that. They got to open back up because of the money. The stock market is crashing. Businesses are folding. And they are more concerned about the economic destruction more so than the lives of people who are dying. In our society, we live in a society that is run by money. Because it is, and because everything is accounted to for money, then that is the priority. And so they want to open up so they can get more money. They want to build that economy up in a capitalistic society. That's the word I was looking for. In a capitalistic society, everything is based on monetary value. Lives are not based on monetary value. As a matter of fact, there are people who, when they die in plane crashes and automobile accidents, and the insurance company, what they do is they go into a schematic that tells how much life you had left and how much you would probably do in life. And usually that's how they adjust how much money a loved one gets, because lives are not really that valuable. But business and money.
I see that.
And that's what it's all about. That's why they want to open this country back up, because they got to get money. Amen. How's Brother Jonah doing?
He's doing good. I was calling him a while ago. He was cutting grass. It looked like it's going to rain.
Yes, it does. Well, make sure you tell him hello for me.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Anybody else want
to? Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. Anybody else want to chime in? Go right ahead. All the lines are open. Yes?
Well, Rogers, this is Ms. Mangum again.
Go ahead, Ms. Mangum.
Just one comment you made there, but you can tell true Christians by their actions.
Yes.
And that is definitely true.
Yes. That's the thing about us. We claim the name, but we don't show the name.
Right.
Why do you think that, Ms. Mangum? Why do you think that we are so easy to claim the name of Christ, but we don't show Christ in us? Why do you think we do that?
It's false to me, false pretense. You're saying one thing and your actions is another.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's not a true Christian.
So in other words, they're perpetrating. As young folks, they're pretending to be a Christian.
One thing, and they're not, and they're another.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Yep. Deaconess Rainey, are you still there?
Yes.
The scripture in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the reading or revealing of the Son of God. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Could you explain that?
Mm-hmm. Can you read the first one again?
For the earnest expectation of the creation, meaning us, eagerly awaits for the revealing of the Son of God. In other words, we're waiting for God to return. Those of us who claim the name of Christ, we are looking forward to Christ returning. But that second verse in 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Could you give me your clarification on that?
We're waiting for the Son.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Hello? Yes,
yes, you
said we're waiting for... Yes, I can hear you now. You said we're waiting
Romans,
for the Son to return.
Yes, Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creation, talking about us, those who he created, eagerly await for the revealing of the Son of God. What that scripture says is that those of us who are the creation of God, we know that this world is not our home. We know that.
Right.
And we know that at some point God's Son will return to receive us. Now those who are not of God, they don't believe in that. They don't wait for that. They think that that when life is over, that's it. But those of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, we eagerly await the return of Christ. Because the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. And these are the types of things that we need to study in God's word. When we read scriptures like that, we need to break that down. What does it mean that the earnest expectation of the creation? What creation? We are the creation. We are the ones that Christ, that God created. We are the creation. So we ought to wait and earnestly expect that God will come and that God will reveal himself to us as well. I want to ask another question. Ms. Mangum, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
You spoke earlier about the word of God lasting forever. The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Can you expound on that just a little bit?
Oh, that means that everything else, like you said, it's going to pass away, but God's word is going to, definitely going to still stand regardless of what goes on. That word is going to stand.
Yes, yes. Everything that we have is temporal.
That's right.
But God is eternal. The house that you live in, one day will belong to somebody else. The car that you drive will one day be driven by someone else. The money that you have accrued over the years, the land that you have possessed, at some point it will go to somebody else. So all of those things are temporal. But only the word of God is going to last forever. So it seems to me that we ought to put more emphasis on the word of God, the eternal things, than those things that are temporal, because those things will surely pass away. Anybody else want to chime in?
Yeah,
Reverend
Rogers.
Go right ahead.
Yes, Reverend Rogers.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking when you asked the question about as far as with people read the word of God, are they reading it because this is what they've seen their parents or grandparents do, or are they reading it for instruction? And I think the majority of people are just, if they're reading it, I think sometimes the Word of God or the Bible has become like a decorative piece on the end table, you know, some sort. But I don't think the Word of God is really being read like it should. I don't think, because I feel like a lot of times the people as Christians, Some of us are professing that we are saved, but yet and still we're not living by the word of God. And I'm not saying that the individual is not saved, but what I am saying, the Bible says, as you stated, if any man be in Christ, you know, he's a new creature. You know, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And basically, if they believe that and are spending time renewing their mind with the word of God, then you're going to see a difference in their walk. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way we're going to be changed is by the word of God. You know, we got to get into the word of God so the word of God can get in us. Once it's so, David said, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I know, you know, we might find ourselves in situations or things where we're tempted to do certain things, but there's that word there that's going to rise up, you know, that so God will lead and direct us in the right way by his spirit. And I believe if we as Christians will really, and we say we know God, and I think that even during the time with everything that's going on with the virus and in this season that we're in right now, I think it's not a test. This is the actual thing that we're going through. But I believe that a lot of people even people with degrees or doctors or whatever they may have, or preachers or evangelists or, you know, whatever title they may hold or been in school for years, I think when this thing hit and things start happening, it shook Christians as a whole. And I think a lot of them realized that I didn't have what I thought I had, because it became so focused on what was going on in the world instead of what the word of God was telling me. We know, I heard people say, is this the end when it still happened? We're going to end? Is it coming to an end? No, never did I ever think that this was the end, because I know what the word of God said. If anything, I thought maybe this is the beginning of sorrow, but not the end, because God said when these things happen, if we do certain things, then he will heal the land. But as you said, if you get into the word of God, we're going to use common sense and we're going to do what they're telling us to do as far as wear our masks and practice social distancing and different things like that. We're going to do that. But when all the negativity is going on, we got to find anger in the word of God. We got to grab hold to a word. We got to get into it, because so much is coming at it. As you stated, it beats us down. But yet, it's that word of God that's going to build us right back up again. It's that word of God that's going to get us, you know, when you turn that TV off and open up your Bible or put on your worship music and get away from the world and find a hiding place in the word of God or in your place of worship. And I think, you know, I think that's what God is calling his people to. He's calling them back to that place of worship. And as you said, we got a worship and fellowship and devotion with him. And we got so much time. And I guess, and I'm saying, have this time that I've been off work, have I gave God as much as I could have gave him? No, I haven't. And as you said, and hearing you speak now, as you said, as from getting to the word of God, really read the word of God, because you got time. That's like God is speaking to us. I want you to get into my word more. I want you to read more because you have it. Like when the word, I'm going to hurry up and I'm going to say this last thing. When the word is being preached, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, their response was, Is it I? You know, and that's the same way when the word is being taught or being preached, we should be asking, is it I, is it me? We should be checking ourselves, because it will find you. And it's designed to take us to another place if we allow it.
Amen. Amen. You really put that down. I thank you so much for your understanding. I thank you so much for your knowledge of the Bible and your knowledge of the word of God. It really helps many people to hear you speak. Many people who need to hear what you just said. I thank you so very much, Minister Lester, for what you have just said. It means a lot for the lesson. It means a lot in our lives. I thank God for this opportunity to come before you today for this Bible study. Our time is almost up, but I thank God for First Baptist of Holly Springs. I pray that you will continue to stay home and stay safe, and that you will love one another and stay in contact with one another. Don't forget those who don't have families. Stop by and see somebody, pick up some, maybe pick up an extra dozen eggs or extra carton of milk, give someone along the way. I pray that God's blessing be upon all of you, that you will continue to listen to the Bible study each Tuesday at 12 noon, and the Sunday service Sunday at 10 a.m. Again, I want to thank those ministers who are helping me to record on Sunday. I am not that technically advanced, but thank God for Mr. McCullers and Minister Lester. They are helping me tremendously, and I thank them so very much for doing so. So we're going to end today, and I pray God's blessing upon you. Minister Lester, would you pray for us? We've got about 3 minutes.
Yes. Okay. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, and we just want to thank you for allowing us to be able to come together and partake of your word. Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen our pastor, continue to watch us and shield us from all sickness and disease. Just cover us with the blood and keep us, Father, until we're able to come together and meet again and worship as one in the body of Christ in your house once again. Thank you, Father. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank all of you so very much. Sister Joyner, please tell Brother Joyner I said hello. And we got to get together for our Monday breakfast. Amen. So we'll see you soon.
Everything is closed now, Pastor.
That's right. We can't even go eat breakfast, can we? Amen. Well, no wonder we haven't had Monday breakfast. But tell him I said hello. I'm thinking about him always. Y'all have a good day.
We'll
continue to give you information concerning First Baptist as it comes. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Don't.